is the Stay Connected Podcast on 93.5. My name is Jared Eastman, and welcome. I hope everybody had a fantastic holiday last week, but let's get right into esports. Today's episode, we're finally going to talk about the 2v2v2v2 game mode coming to League of Legends. It's been in the PPE. I've had some friends play it, give me their opinions on it. I've seen a little bit of gameplay on it, but I am super excited for this game mode. It looks like it's going to be the best League edition so far. Let's get into that right here on 93.5. We are the Stay Connected Podcast. All right. So first of all, what is this game mode? Basically how it's going to work, it's a combination of TFT and regular League of Legends. What I mean by that is you and your partner, you are going to enter with, I think, a total of five other teams. Yeah, 2v2v2v2v2. Five other teams. Makes sense. I can math. But yeah, no. So you're going to go into a game with these five other teams. And you get to pick your own champions. So you could pick anything from Darius and Annie to Ivern and Shaco. Here's an important part of this aspect. With a 5v5, which is normal League of Legends, you have a lot more picks to synergize your team comp. You know, obviously, five picks compared to only two picks, you can spread things out. So you can have one champion that's all CC, and one champion that's DPS, and one champion that's a mana ranged in the back line. With a 2v2... you don't have that many options. You know, you can pick a character that can try and hybrid all of those important roles with CC and backline and DPS, which is damage per second. But at the end of the day, you need to pick two champions. You and your partner need to have two champions that just complement each other so well. I actually think Yasuo is probably going to be a really good pick for something like this. Especially if you pair him with a champion with a knockup like Malphite or even Sion. I did see some combos that were doing really well and liked by like high skilled players that I know, and one of those is Ivern and Annie, because the way the Ivern and Annie ultimate works is they summon a creature. For Annie, she summons Tibbers, which is this giant monster bear. And for Ivern, he summons Daisy, which is this giant stone golem. So you're basically turning a 2v2 into a 4v2. Not the worst thing to happen. You could also do that with Shaco, though, technically, with his clone. But I digress. I was getting distracted. Where this comes into play. So once you get into the game, you will have 20 health as a team. This is where it kind of gets like TFT. Each round, in the beginning, you lose 2 health per loss. And if you win, you don't lose any health. Though, there's a little bit of an added benefit to losing, I think, because I think you get more gold if you lose. Because each round after combat is like a shop round. And you can buy items in this round. You can buy consumable items in this round that give you a buff for like one round. What you're also going to be able to get is augments like in TFT. Though these augments work a little bit different to where they are going to buff your single character. So it's not a team buff. It is a single character buff. And these can go from a wide range of giving you stats, giving you Omnivamp. Looking at some that I have pulled up right here, one of them says 45 ability haste. So that's going to let your abilities come off cooldown a lot quicker than your enemies. You could gain movement speed equal to double your ability haste. And then there are ones that are situational. So upon dropping below 50% health, heal for 30% max health over 3 seconds. So that's a really big healing buff. And then there's ones that do damage. There are ones that do damage here and actually give you other champions' abilities. So one of them was you're able to cast Lissandra W every 5 seconds. I've also seen every 10 seconds shoot out a Blitzcrank hook at the farthest enemy or the nearest enemy. So that shoots out a Blitzcrank pull to try and pull an enemy in, separate them from their partner even. And, you know, that's pretty cool that it's going off every 5, 10, 15 seconds, something along those lines. You could also have Kog'Maw passive, which after you die, you explode and do extra damage in an area. That might win a team fight. Because the damage does ramp up in later rounds, you know. It goes from 2 damage per loss to maybe 4 damage per loss to maybe 6 damage per loss. And people got to be careful of other things, too. There are more things to be careful of besides the regular 2v2, like map hazards. And when I saw this, I thought it was so cool, because I remember playing Smash. I haven't played it in quite a while, but there are maps in Super Smash Bros. With obstacle hazards that can either do a lot of damage to you or accidentally eliminate you. So you have to be careful, and the same could be said for this. A couple of that I've seen so far is there's like a giant Set walking around, and if he has 2k health, and if you're the last person to knock him below 0 health, he fires a fist of damage towards the enemy. That is insane, and that is very dependent on your map awareness. You have to be paying attention now, not only to the enemy, but to that situational hazard, because that might take health out of you that you were really hoping to save for that 2v2 team fight. I also saw a Pike. He dashes around the map to the farthest enemy, and anybody caught in his path gets stunned, like how he works as a normal champion, except he's bigger. And he's not on anybody's side. He's just doing what he's doing on the map. And if you get caught in it, that's your fault. Oh, but no, I'm actually really pumped for this 2v2 game mode. It is in the PBE right now, which a bunch of my friends have been playing it. I just can't wait to try so many dangerously deadly combos with my friends. Though, you know what? I didn't even think about this. I wonder if that's an aspect of it. Of if you have a group of 10 friends, which my friend group is pretty large, so we're definitely closer to that number. I don't know if we could get 10 people online at the exact same time. But if you have enough people, can you just go into a lobby by yourself with your friends? That would be cool. Huh, I never even thought about it like that. Because here's the problem. With a 5v5 with 10 of your friends, people get annoyed. It's a long game. It's, you know, regular league sometimes can be really frustrating. And some of my friends just don't know how to deal with it. Sometimes I don't know how to deal with it. But I think it would be fun if it was a game mode like that. And, you know, we were in groups of 2. That might be cool. That would be really cool. I'll have to see how you actually queue up for this 2v2 game mode. I don't think you can, but it would be cool if they added that or if they allowed you to create your own custom lobby. That would be cool. All right, let's move on to TFT, because there are so many regional portals, more than I originally thought. You know, I originally went into this thinking, oh, there's not that many. There's only one for each region. How I was wrong. There's actually quite a few for each region. Some have more than others, like Ionia has like a bunch. Bandle City has a bunch. Meanwhile, Demacia only has like 2. And they both kind of stink if you really think about it. Would they turn the game upside down? Absolutely. But as for actually being like helpful, I feel like it would do more harm than good. So let's go through the TFT regional portals because I'm enjoying the set so far. It's frustrating me to none other because nothing is actually broken. I said this in our last episode or one of the previous episodes, which you can listen back to anytime, anywhere on our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com under the podcast tab. But Bandle City starting out. Scuttlepuddle. Scuttlepuddle is one of the best Bandle City augments, or I guess regional portals that you can pick. So every PvE round is replaced by scuttle crabs that give you extra loot. If you remember when we were first talking about set 9, this was the example one that we had at the time. Now we also know there's Yuumi's Zoom Zone. Player combats last 20 seconds instead of 30 before overtime starts. Not really great. I've never had anybody jumping to pick it. You know, it's kind of useless. However, the next Bandle City augment, I do see picked sometimes. I've even wanted to pick it because of the build I was trying to go. You're gonna gain a spatula at 2-1. Free spat off the bat, love it. At shopping start, units equipped with a spatula, emblem, or tactician's crown feed a Poro snack to their closest ally, granting them 7 permanent health. Units will feed one snack per item they have equipped. Not too bad. You know, it's only 7 health, so it's not gonna do that much in retrospect. But, you know, after 10 rounds, that's 70 extra health, depending how many items they have equipped, of course. So, you know, really, if it's 3 full items equipped, 7, 14, 21, that's 21 health per round. 5 rounds, that's about 100 health per stage. That's not bad. If my math is right. If you could tell, I'm not a math guy, so I'm actually quite surprised that I was able to pull that out of a hat. But the important part of that is the spatula that could be used for so many things, especially if you need one early. Having a guaranteed one at the start of the game is pretty good, but keep in mind, everybody gets this. Now, the last Bandle City portal, I don't really care. I've never really played it. On the first and fifth round of each stage, you're gonna get a free high tier unit. The unit's tier increases with game time, so of course, eventually it'll become a 5-tier unit. Not too bad, but like meh. There are better augments out there. The Ionia one, which we'll get to, is better than that because it's after every stage, and it just goes up, you know. I guess on the fifth, I guess having 2 per stage rather than 1 is all right. But this is from what I'm reading here, this is a random high tier unit. So most likely, unless you get really lucky, you're just going to be selling it anyway. All right, Demacia. I will admit this, Demacia is my least favorite region. Its portals stink. They are really bad, and I've never been inclined to want to try it. The first one, which is called House Light Shield, you're gonna gain a powerful crown of Demacia on 2-1. If the wearer of that crown dies during combat, you instantly lose the fight. Excuse me? What? So it is such an instant KO. Why would you do that to yourself? Why? Why would you do that? So you're telling me I could have the best team in the game and I could be doing the best out of everyone out there, but if my crown wearer dies, I lose instantly. That's not fun. Who would pick that? Who would willingly pick that? Chaotic people, that's who. I actually know a few people who would probably pick that. And then the other Demacia one, it's kind of just meh. You know, it's a real stinker. All units are 15% larger, who cares, and have 150 bonus health. Who cares? Blah. I've had people rush over to this one I guess because it doesn't matter, so they, you know, it's just like a normal game of TFT at that point. I get it, but, like, I don't want that. I want something fun. Come on. Next up is Freljord, which also only has two. I didn't know that. Freljord only has two, but I guess that makes sense because I never really... I've seen Freljord a couple of times, I guess. And both are actually pretty good. One of them I've never seen. I've never seen this one of the three portals available to me. On 4-5, you're going to gain a consumable masterwork upgrade that lets you upgrade one equipped item into its radiant version. We talked about this when we went over set 9. I've just never seen it, which is weird. You think by now, statistically, I would have seen it at least once. And then the other Freljord portal is randomly on either 2-5 or 3-5. By the way, if you don't know what all I'm saying is 2-5 and 3-5, it's going to be stage 2, round 5, if that helps out at all. I realized I should have probably said that earlier just in case, but yes, so it is set and then round. So you're on stage 2, round 5, stage 3, round 5. You're going to gain an Ornn item, which Ornn items are pretty powerful. You know, they're the, I think they're sometimes more powerful than radiant items. There are some Ornn items, though, that stink and are terrible, and you might as well have a basic item at that point. So you're really picking your poison with that one. Unless, which I've learned to abuse, is TF. TF is one of the, like, I guess you could call it like a deck pack that you get at the beginning of the game or that you pick in the lobby. And, you know, he influences the augments you can get. So one of your three augments are guaranteed to be focused around Twisted Fate augments, which revolve around the first augment is always a Pandora's items, which is fantastic no matter which version you get. The second and third one kind of stink. They're just kind of items. Who cares? It's really that first one that most people want to gravitate towards. And I see most people playing with Pandora's items. Because what that does is all the items on your bench that you haven't put onto a champion yet, they get shuffled into random items or random components. So for an Ornn item, it would just get changed into another Ornn item. You could also do this for emblems. So if I have a Demacia emblem, and I need a Sorcerer emblem, there is a statistical chance that it will turn into a Sorcerer emblem. However, what I've also noticed and am going to have to be more conscious about is whether the emblem is craftable or not. Because if it is, it's just going to randomly turn into another craftable one. So there's like a list of, I think, like 10 or 7 emblems that you can craft. And then there's all the other emblems that you can't craft, but you can get through various ways. So if I take if I get a carousel, or if I get this from a Tome of Traits, if it's an emblem that isn't craftable, so I cannot make this in the game regularly. I have to get it from either a Tome of Traits or a carousel round. And that goes into my bench. It will randomly shift into another non-craftable emblem. And that I have been taking advantage of. So I got distracted again. But yeah, an Ornn item's not too bad. You know, it really depends. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go through the rest of these regional portals because I really love most of them. Thank you. This is the Stay Connected Podcast. We'll be right back on 93.5. All right. Welcome back to the Stay Connected Podcast, your Central Jersey esports podcast. What we're just talking about is we're about halfway through these regional portals. I say halfway, we're really not. looking at Ionia, though, I want to start off. Get right into it because we do have a couple left to go. Ionia, the start of each stage, you're going to gain a champion that fits your team. Not too bad. I actually like that a lot. That is what I consider better than the Bandle City one. because it just fits into your team comp. There is no random chance. Of course, you might get a champion that you weren't really looking for. It happens. It's happened to me. But I'd rather take that than Bandle City any day. God Willow's Grove is also another one. It's fun because you gain a spot on your bench that becomes a grove. The unit in it contributes their traits as though they were in your army. That has potential to do so much helpful damage because you can make your units a lot tankier if you have like a juggernaut in there. I will note, you cannot throw a unit that is in play on there. So if I have Set on my active play and I put Set on the board, it's not going to do anything. So it has to be a unit you aren't playing. Then you're going to get the last Ionia one kind of stinks. I mean, it's actually kind of helpful, but meh. I like the other two Ionia ones better. You're going to gain a consumable on 3/5 that when you place it on a unit, opens an armory with an emblem of each of their traits. Again, you know, this would be really actually helpful as long as you're pairing it with Pandora's items. Otherwise, it could just be a fun thing for, like, if you're going Void or something like that. There are a few other team comps in where this works really well for you, but they're few and far between, so meh. The other Ionia ones I would like a lot more. Noxus ones, I really don't like the Noxus regional portals. they're kind of like the Demacia ones. They just kind of buff your army, or they really stink. Like, this one is on 2/1, gain a placeable battle flag that grants attack speed and max health. Sure, it's all right, but your units have to be adjacent to that flag, so it kind of stinks. And then the other Noxus one is each time you take an augment and a random arena hex appears and a unit on that arena hex gains an item that they can use, and it switches each round. That one's the better of the bunch, in my opinion, just because an extra item is helpful. You know, the Noxus flag, it's just too restricting that units have to be adjacent to it. Of course, if you're going a backline, sharp, like, shooter build, like Tristana, Kalista, Zeri, this will be the best augment, your best friend. Because that 20% attack speed is huge. Jace's Workshop for Piltover. I'm just going to do this one because the other two are bad comparatively. This one is such a hit or miss because all augments offered in the game will be prismatic. Holy moly. That changes the game right there. The next one is just the first augment, which isn't as good, but, you know, I'll take a prismatic augment. And then the last one is, you know, really hectic for the chaos people that like to play wild, because no augments will be offered that game. I've had that happen to me, and it was terrible. I didn't know what to do with myself. I became so used to augments that when I started playing without them, I didn't know how to play. I guess that's the point of it. Throw people off their game. I don't really care about the Shadow Isles. You know, when any champion dies, every 40 souls you get, you gain loot. It's not that helpful. We talked about that. That was one of the ones we knew about at the beginning of the set. The other one is every time a player dies, all players open an armory containing 4 of the eliminated player's completed items. You get to pick, like, one, I think. That one's meh. You know, it's not really good. It kind of stinks. Shurima. People pick Shurima a lot, and I understand why. At 4/7, NPC round is replaced by an armory of treasure, and you have to reroll 2 gold to get different items. It's an armory round. Not too bad. I actually like it a lot. If you don't have any items for your other Shurima one, this one kind of stinks. If you don't have any item remover on your bench at the start of the round, get one. That kind of stinks. You know, it doesn't really help. Item removers are kind of useless now, since items pop off anyway. You would only use it if you accidentally put an item on the wrong person or if you need an item remover. But most of the time you don't in today's TFT world. The last Shurima one is one that people pick quite often. Component carousels have 2 components on them instead of 1. So that's pretty helpful. You'll full. You know, we talked about that actually when the set came out, and that was one I was really looking forward to. The Targon and Void ones, they're okay. You know, I kind of lumped them together because, meh. You know, the Targon one, at least you get a champion duplicator at the start of each stage. That helps with reroll comps. And on stage 5, you gain an actual champion duplicator. So lesser ones can only be used on 3 costs and above, where a regular one can be used on any champion. That's the best Targon one, hands down, by the way. I've never actually seen this one in play, and if I did, I'd pick it every time. On 2-5 and 4-5, you gain a Tactician's Crown. So that's 2 extra teammates right there. That would make a pretty fun game. For Void, the best one, honestly, is the randomizer, because you travel to a random location that isn't currently shown. That has unlimited possibilities. That is the best Void one. The other ones kind of stink. They're just PvE rounds or random items that aren't helpful. And then finally, the Zaun ones, before we wrap the episode up. The Zaun ones, the best one, which there's only 3 and they all kind of stink, is there is no interest this game. Instead starting on 2-1, you gain 3 gold every round. Kind of stinks. Not really great. The other ones are every time you build a completed item, gain 3 gold. Sorry, I fell asleep at how boring that one is. And then the last one is every time you select an augment, gain 4 gold gain 4 gold per augment you have. That's at least better than the one I just read to you, but I'm still in my bed, tucked up away, because it's a snooze fest over in Zaun. I don't know when the next TFT patch is, but if they were to upgrade some of these regional portals, I would definitely suggest Zaun, Noxus, Demacia. Make them worth playing. Come on, it's not that hard. All right, next episode, we'll get back into our regularly scheduled League of Legends. We'll talk about Cloud9 versus Evil Geniuses that happened this past week, because I do want to talk about that fight of the Titans. Right now, they are still the top 2 teams with actually Golden Guardians. Actually, sorry, not top 2, top 5, because Golden Guardians has been putting in the work to climb the ranks. So that will all happen next episode on the Stay Connected podcast. You can listen to us anytime, anywhere, on air at foxsportsradionewjersey.com or live Sunday 10:30 to 11. Everybody have a fantastic day.